If you have your Bibles, please turn to Jonah chapter 1. My main text this morning is Jonah, the whole chapter 1, but we're kind of going to summarize the whole book. Larry told me to keep it short because the Cardinals are on today, so I'll see how I can manage that. But Jonah chapter 1, all the verses, I'm just going to read through those here real quick. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into to it to go to them from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it from them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call upon your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish.' And each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us now on whose account this calamity struck us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will come calm down for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come to you.' However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, 'We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased.' So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." The title of the message today is "Not Feeling It," or "I'm Not Feeling It." Now, up until about 4 to 5 weeks ago, I was not feeling it. What was I not feeling, you may ask? My spiritual walk. My spiritual walk was off. My relationship with God was struggling, and I wasn't feeling it. And I think it was 5 Sundays ago, me and Ash were driving to church, and we began to just have a conversation about the church and how things were going and our own personal walks. And I said to her, "You know, I've really got to get it in gear, because I'm not feeling any of this. I'm not feeling like reading. I'm not feeling like praying. I'm not feeling like being in the praise band. I'm not feeling like going to church." And in fact, if it wasn't for being worried about what somebody might say about me or wonder where I'm at, there might have been Sundays there where I didn't come to church. I wasn't feeling it. So after me and her had that conversation, I sat there in the passenger seat and I just prayed. And I opened up a conversation with God, and I said, "Lord, you're going to have to do something to get me moving, because I'm not feeling it. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this." So that Sunday, I got in here early like I normally do, and I began to tune my guitar to get prepared. And Pastor Mike walks in, and he says, "I got to ask you something." And I already knew what he was going to ask me before he asked me. But he said, "What are you doing 4 Sundays from now? I need you to preach." And so I told him I would. And I figured that was God opening up a door for me. About a week went by, and I hadn't really studied or looked at the word or anything, and I thought, oh boy, I better get on this. And I began to just pray, and I began to tell, Lord, you got to get me excited here. I've got to prepare a message. About that time, my phone rings. It's a pastor from a church down in Neoga. Says, hey, your dad gave me your number. We need you to preach next week. Oh, man. I said, all right, Lord, I'm getting the point. A few hours later in that afternoon, I had my phone. It was shut off. The battery had been dead and had it plugged in. I take it off the charger, turn it on. It says, you've got a voicemail. So don't even go there. Well, it was a pastor of Toledo First Baptist Church, a whole different church, saying, hey, I need you for two Sundays coming up. Give me a call back. So anyway, I accepted, and that's where I've been the last 2 weeks. Here I am today, and next week I'm going to be in Toledo again. But I say that to say I wasn't feeling it. I had serious issues. We see in this scripture here, Jonah wasn't feeling it. God wanted Jonah to go and tell the Ninevites that they were just being horrible people and that they needed to change, or else God was going to condemn the whole place. Jonah hated the Ninevites. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. I did some research on these Ninevite people, and the Bible says that they were evil people and all that, but I did some research. And there's some like ancient writings and ancient carvings and stuff, and the more I started to read, these people would make some of the evil dictators in today's times look like choir boys. They used to go into cities and kill everybody. They'd skin people alive. They'd burn people alive from children on up, and they'd take everything they've had. There were some counts where they said we'd go in and chop off all their extremities, all their hands and their feet, and then we'd drive a stake right through them and we'd hang them up in front of the walls. In other accounts, it said they would skin these people alive and put the skin on the walls as wallpaper so that you knew you're not messing with these Ninevites. They were serious and they were cruel. Other examples I read were that they would take people that tried to stand against them and they'd bury them up to here in the sand. They'd pull out their tongues and drive a stake through it. And that's how they'd die. These people were crazy. There's actual accounts of where a majority of a city would commit suicide when they heard the Ninevites were coming because it was much better than going through what the Ninevites were going to put them through. These Ninevites were really very evil people, and God was on the verge of wiping them off the map, but he told Jonah, I need you to go and I need you to talk to these people. Now, I don't think it was so much that Jonah was scared of these people to go and talk to them, but rather he knew, if I go to Nineveh and I tell them the truth about God, there's a chance they may ask for forgiveness. They may repent and God may forgive them. And I don't want that. I hate these people. I want them destroyed. I don't want God to forgive them. Jonah wasn't feeling it. He didn't want to do what God called him to do. So Jonah fled. Verses 4 through 6 said, where Jonah goes and he gets on this ship, and in verse 4, it says, and the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call upon your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, that we will not perish. This tells me that this must have been a very big storm. These guys are sailors. They're around water all the time. They're on this ship all the time. But something had to be different about this storm for these guys to panic like they were and to be begging their gods to save them. This was a big storm. And you see, this also shows us that when we as people go through storms in our lives, it not only affects us, but it affects those around us. Our family members, our loved ones, our parents, our children, our church, our coworkers. Our storms can affect other people, not just ourselves. So many times when you see somebody that's just going through the worst things on this planet, their family suffers. They feel sorry for them. Their heart hurts for them. Our storms affect everybody. So these guys are freaking out and they're saying, what are we supposed to do here? What's going to make this storm stop? And Jonah, not wanting to go to Nineveh so bad, in fact, he says, just throw me overboard. He didn't say, turn the ship around, go put me back, and I'll go do what I'm supposed to do. He said, no, just throw me overboard. That's how bad he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Later on down on 15 and 17, it says, so they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. So this fish, lots of times we say it's a whale or whatever, doesn't really matter. The bottom line is some huge fish, a literal fish, literally swallowed literal Jonah. He was in his stomach for 3 days and three nights, the Bible says. Jonah was running from God and being disobedient. He wasn't feeling it. And Jonah, while he's in the belly of this fish, he hits rock bottom. He officially hits rock bottom. And you see, sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom for God to get us where we need to be. I'm going to read all chapter 2 here real quick. It's just 10 verses. This is Jonah. He's inside the stomach of this fish. He says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord of his God and this from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, though thou didst hear my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards thy holy temple. Water encompassed me at the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, and to the holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. At this point, Jonah is desperate. He's in the belly of a fish, for Pete's sakes. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. I can't imagine what that experience would be like. Jonah had to hit rock bottom. See, I've been told by somebody a while back, says maybe you shouldn't talk about yourself so much when you preach, but I figure if I can't tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me, then what good am I? But a few years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, was whenever I felt like I had spiritually hit rock bottom. I went through a horrible time in my life. I was a Christian, but I went through a horrible time in my life. And I can remember being on the phone with my dad and my dad telling me, son, I pray that God drags you to the bottom of the ocean if that's what's going to take. And I said, Dad, I feel like I'm already at rock bottom. And he says, have you quit doing the things you're doing? I said, no. And he said, then you're not at rock bottom yet. You see, this guy up here in front of you today is the same one that 7 or 8 years ago was dealing with sex, was dealing with drugs, was dealing with depression. This same person up here was the same guy that was snorting lines of cocaine off the back of a toilet bowl in a bar. I'm not proud of it. But you see, my dad and those around me, they love me enough to pray that God would do whatever it takes to change me. Do whatever it takes to get me in line. Do whatever it takes to get me on the right track. I hit rock bottom. My storm had affected my parents. My parents were miserable because of me and the things I was going through. To the point where every time I talked to my mother on the phone, she'd break down and just say, Ben, I just want you to get back in church. But I brought the storm on myself. So here Jonah is in the belly of this fish, and lots of times we don't look at it this way, but this fish actually protected Jonah. God sent this fish to protect Jonah. Because you figure out in the middle of the sea, you're not going to last 3 days out in the middle of the sea just floating around. It's not going to happen. You're shark bait. But this fish protected Jonah. And while Jonah's in the fish's belly, we just read in chapter 2, he begins to cry out to God. He opened up a conversation with God. See, God wants us to have a conversation with Him. God wants us to be honest with Him. Too many times we just sit and we will put on the church face and all these things, and we'll go to church, we'll do all these things, but we never really open up a conversation with God. That day in the car, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I opened up a conversation with God. God wants a conversation. God wants you to speak to Him. Do you know there's nothing wrong with telling God you're just not feeling it? There's not. God wants you to be honest. God wants to talk to you. God wants you to open up. It's okay to complain to God sometimes. He's always going to win, but it's okay to complain. If you're not feeling it today, it's okay to be honest with yourself and with God and tell Him you're not feeling it. We can go to church and do all these things, but if our hearts aren't right, it's all for nothing. God doesn't care about what you do. He cares about where your heart is. So Jonah cries out to God, and he submits to God's will. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land." This fish spits Jonah out. Jonah was having forgiveness issues. And you see, it's difficult to begin the process of forgiveness once bitterness is set in. Forgiveness is something that we as people, for some reason, that's one of our biggest struggles. I'm never going to get over what they did to me 5 years ago. I'm never going to get past the way that he looked at me when I walked in the door. Forgiveness. Christ commands that we forgive others. But it can be hard. And like I said, once you choose not to forgive somebody and bitterness sets in, that can change your relationship with that person for years, decades, or a lifetime. But Jonah swallowed it. And he tells God, "I'll go and I'll tell him." Chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jonah warns Nineveh. It says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. "Then Jonah began to go through the city of 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown.' Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of these." See, these people heard Jonah's warning. These people were evil people. We just got into talking about how evil these people were. Horrible people. Everyone feared these people. There's absolutely no way, no how these people can change. These people don't care what God's plan is. These people don't care what God's will is. These people aren't going to care what Jonah has to say. But Jonah said that they believed. In fact, even the king, who was an horrible, evil man, he believed. So what's he do? He gets up and he tells everybody, "Here's the deal. Everybody take off all your normal clothes. We're going to put sackcloth on everybody. We're all going to be humble. I want sackcloth on all the animals." They put sackcloth on all of the animals. He also said, "We're not going to eat or drink anything. It's time to get right. We've been warned. We've got 40 days to get this thing turned around or we're all dead meat." But they believed. You see, even the most evil can change. The most horrible, disgusting people can change. Because when we line ourselves up with God's standards, we're all evil and horrible. Miserable, disgusting. But with grace, anybody can change. And too often, we're way too fast to write somebody off. To just look the other way when we see somebody that isn't dressed the way we like. isn't using the language we like to say. But you see, we don't know what one conversation, one question, one sentence might do to change somebody's heart. I was listening to a Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty sermon that he had preached. I was listening to it last night on YouTube, and he said one day he was taking orders, and this guy called in, and pretty much every other sentence the guy was using GD, he was taking the Lord's name in vain, and he said to him, "You know, what gives you the right to curse the one, the only one, who can keep you out of the grave?" And the guy basically said, "You got my order or what?" He said, "Yeah, I got your order," and he hangs up. Well, he says about 10 minutes later, the guy calls back and says, "Hey, I'm the guy that was cursing God." And he said, "Okay, so the question still stands. What gives you the right to curse a God that can keep you out of the grave?" And he said, "You know, I never really thought about that." And Phil said to him, "Here's the deal. Where do you live?" And the guy said, "Alabama," which is like 10 hours away. And he said, "You drive down here, and I'm going to tell you a story. It might change how you feel." Long story short, this guy showed up, and Phil led him and his buddy to Christ. They literally drove 10 hours, like a week later, to come and hear what this story was all about that was going to change their mind. My point with that is, you never know what one sentence, what one question, what one comment can do for somebody. We shouldn't judge. We shouldn't just walk by. We are surrounded by lost people that are going to hell, a literal hell. Even the most evil can change. But you see, this whole story would have been nothing if Jonah wasn't willing to go. Jonah started off not feeling it, but he chose to go. I'm going to ask our song leader and piano player come up. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I'm going to ask the piano just to start playing softly now. And I want everybody's heads bowed. Nobody looking around, everybody's eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you're just not feeling it. Maybe all of you are here today and you're just not feeling it. Maybe you wouldn't have even came to church today if you weren't worried about what someone might think. Maybe your walk is off. Maybe you haven't been reading. Maybe you haven't been praying. If that's you today, slip up your hand. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Raise your hand. We're going to have an altar call here, and you're going to have an opportunity to come up and just open up a conversation with God. Like I said before, God wants a conversation. It's okay to tell God you're not feeling it. This doesn't have to be a big, "I'm going up there and recommitting my life." I'm challenging you today to come forward, get on your knees, and tell God you're not feeling it. You will be 15 steps closer to the mark than if you just stay in your seat. Father, Lord, we've heard your call this morning. And we pray that you just move. And I pray that you move freely. And I pray that hearts and minds will be moved, Father. Lord, I pray that you just get a hold of this church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just get us excited for your word, excited to grow. Lord, we need you. We're relying on you. And I pray that you just turn your people. I pray that you give us a passion. Father, use this time now to convict and to draw near. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.